Thank you for tuning in to our sermons at Upper Room Church. If this ministry is blessing you and you'd like to give back, or if you'd just like to learn more information about Upper Room, you can visit our website at upperroompensacola.com. Thank you.
And so this week is a special week. We have First Thursdays. So this Thursday is our gathering. It's a midweek gathering, and we do free food. And you should just come for the food because it's always really good. And really, I don't know what we're having, but I just know it's going to be good, you know. So last month we had fried mullet. It's hard to top fried mullet, you know. I'm a little partial. I love mullet backbones, mullet roe, you know what I'm saying, fried mullet, grilled mullet, blackened mullet, you know. I just like mullet. I'm a mullet guy, but I don't know what we're doing this month. And so it'll be a great time. I'd love for you to be a part if you haven't came out for that. And we're on week two of a series called Survey Says. And it's one of my favorite series. And so what we do at Easter, when everybody shows up for church on the same day, we had these surveys that we gave everybody, and we asked them to fill them out. And then on that survey, we asked you to write down a topic or a subject in the Bible that you wanted to be, you know, taught on. And so we took all of those answers, all of those suggestions, and we came up with three or four. There was a few that really came to the top. And last week, we kind of tackled the major subject, kind of serious subject last week. And, you know, how do we live through life's worst days? Because we're going to have bad days. And so we talked about how to navigate life's worst days. And then so this week actually was the only one. One suggestion kind of stood alone, and it came from a 12-year-old. And so she was brave enough to write this down, because we didn't get a ton of question or a ton of topics, but she wanted to talk about courage, and what does it mean to have courage? And so I thought, you know what, I really like that, and I get to pick the topics, so I'm gonna talk. Let's talk about courage. So courage is the word itself, if the English word, it basically is the ability to do something that frightens you. You know, that could be going to Walmart, you know what I'm saying? Like, or driving, you know, driving across that bridge at 5 o'clock, it frightens me. I feel like the lanes are getting skinnier, you know, the higher up you go, it's like, I'm about to, you know, so it takes courage to just drive sometimes and go to Walmart and be an adult, but courage is the ability to do something scared, do something that frightens you. And so in the Bible, it's only used around 20 times. One time in the New Testament, the Old Testament around 19 times. And so the verses that we're going to be covering today, in these just 7 or 8 verses, it's used 5 times. And so this, to me, is probably some of the best few verses that we have in all of the Word of God on courage. And what does it mean to have courage? And how do we find courage in times of life when we desperately need it? And so I was just looking at different stories about courage and courageous people, and I came across a story about a cruise boat that was cruising through the Caribbean, and they were having, you know, big time, and it was kind of the afternoon, and one of the a lady had fallen over the side of the boat, and so she fell off she must have been having too good of a time, you know what I'm saying? Fell off the side of the boat, and then an elderly gentleman was the first one. Immediately went over and was in the water with her and helped, you know, rescue her. And so they decided, the staff of this cruise ship, so we're gonna have like a dinner to celebrate this man that rescued this young lady. And so they had this big dinner on the boat, and it was, you know, everyone was getting up and they were kind of giving speeches. The captain spoke and some of the crew spoke, and the keynote speaker was the elderly gentleman that jumped over the side, you know, and rescued this woman. And so everybody's wanting to hear from him. You know, everybody's up and they're kind of giving toast, but he hasn't said a word. He was real quiet, and he was sitting at the table, not really making eye contact with anyone. And when it was his turn to speak, kind of at the end of the dinner, he's the keynote speaker, everybody just silence. You know, he gets up there to talk, and everybody, you know, you're expecting, you know, he's like probably a World War II vet or something, you know, and he's got some incredible just wisdom and courage, like, you know, to jump off the side of a boat like that. And he gets up there and it's silence, and he says one statement. He says, "All I want to know is who pushed me." That was funnier on the first service. I didn't get quite the laugh I was expecting out of that one. Oh well. But sometimes life, right, will present you with situations where you have to find courage and you didn't ask for it. You get pushed into something, right? And here you are having to find the courage and the strength to be brave. And with Joshua, it's very similar. You know, Joshua up until this point in Joshua 1, which is going to be our main verses, has been, he was basically Moses, his right-hand man. Behind the scenes, Moses was the one out front. Kind of a little bit of context, Moses was leading, most scholars believe around 2.5 million people were under the leadership of Moses when he brought them out of Egypt, and they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, and Moses made a few mistakes, so Moses couldn't enter into the promised land. And so when we pick up here in Joshua 1, we are at the brink of the River Jordan, and on the other side of that is the promised land. Is everything God promised these 2.5 million people. And then behind them is the wilderness, their comfort zone, what they've known and what has been their, you know, what has been their sense of security up until this point. And then so we pick up with Joshua, and number one, you know, God is transitioning leadership here over from Moses to Joshua. And one of the things that I've found that requires the most courage in life, I know just from my own experience, is anytime that you go through transition, it requires courage. And I was thinking about the 12-year-old that wrote this down, and remembering back into some of those scariest points of my life, was it's that fifth grade to sixth grade jump. You know what I'm saying? You remember that? Like some of you are like, I don't remember that. It's just a blur. You know, like it's kind of a blur for me too. I had some bad habits in sixth grade, believe it or not. And so you go from like the top of the ladder to the bottom of the ladder. You know, you're the oldest, you're elementary school, you're the oldest, you're the strongest, probably the biggest. If you're me, you're not. But then you hit sixth grade and now you have to like start over. And then it happens again with high school, and it happens again with college. And so transition, this was the mess. I talked about Joshua 1 at the Gulf Breeze Baccalaureate Service High School this year, because transition is scary. Anytime you're moving from one familiar place to another, or to the unknown, you have to have some kind of courage. You've got to find, because we always kind of want to withdraw to what we are familiar with. And, you know, so getting ready for this talk, I like to look at the opposite of things at times. So what would be the opposite of somebody who is courageous? You know, when I think of courageous, I think of the Purple Hearts and, you know, people that showed very just bouts of bravery. And so what would be the opposite of someone who has courage? And so I was thinking a coward, right? Like the lion from the Wizard of Oz. somebody who is not courageous is a coward. But the more I began getting ready for this, I don't think that's true. And I found in my own life, it's the opposite. Really the enemy of courage is comfort. It's not coward. You know, we're going to face things in our life where we're going to want to run. You know what I mean? Where we're going to want to, like, this is bigger than me. I can't. So even at least a coward is there. You know what I'm saying? A coward exposes himself to something that even gives you the ability to want to turn and run from it. But comfort has a way of causing us to stay in these seasons of our life where we don't want to stretch ourselves. We don't want to do anything that challenges us. And so the number one thing that courage requires, we see in the first three verses of Joshua 1. This is God speaking directly to Joshua. And he says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, again, he was behind the scenes, Moses, my servant, is dead. So now, therefore, get up, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people, 2.5 million people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. And then every place that you walk, that your foot treads, I'm going to give it to you, or I've already given to you, just as I promised to Moses. And so courage is required to get from where you are right now to where God is calling you. And the first thing that we have to have in order to have courage is, number one, we need an assignment. Courage begins with an assignment that's bigger than myself. Like we, it's an assignment. It's something that life gives me, or maybe a call that God places on your life. that you know, okay, that your immediate reaction is, I'm not comfortable with this. This is out of my comfort zone, right? This is out of my area of expertise. And that's when we see courage really begins. Like, courage requires a challenge. It requires a challenge. And so in life, when we face challenging things and things fall into our laps that we didn't ask for, and it's a challenge, it's in those seasons of life where God has the most opportunity for us. And I think a lot of times we miss what God has for us because we're not willing to accept the challenge, or we retreat to what's familiar. We retreat to what's familiar. You know, one of the ways that eagles, there's actually a bald eagle, several of them at Fort Pickens. And I've been going out there almost once a week lately. It's just a nice drive, and the surf's been good down there. Don't tell anybody. Everybody knows. So it's like, it's not even. But this is so cool about the bald eagle is what happens with the bald eagle is they build their nest when they have their, I guess, eaglets. Is that a thing? Okay, baby eagles, whatever. So they, eaglets, that's redneck vernacular right there. When they had them eaglets, you know, and over there down at the Pickens Fort, and it's cool though. I think you're going to like this. They don't have the courage to immediately begin to fly on their own. So what the eagle will do is she will put them on her back, and she'll fly these eagles around to get them familiar with flying because they just want to stay in the nest. And so the way that the eagle constructs this nest is she takes like a bunch of thorns, and then she takes sticks, and then she takes like different vegetation, and then the top of the nest is real comfortable, feathers and things like that. And so when the eagles are first born, the nest is super comfortable. And then what will begin to happen is if there's an eagle that refuses to fly, what she'll start doing is she'll start removing layers of the nest. And so they go from feathers to sticks, right? And so it's a little less comfortable now. It's a little colder, it's uneasy. And then she goes from sticks to the thorns. And it gets so uncomfortable in the nest. What happens is these eagles get so uncomfortable in what they know, they have to jump. And I think life will oftentimes, God will do the same thing in our life. When we get too comfortable in a certain place, that we can receive challenge or opposition like it's bad, but a lot of times it's really good. That is God's way of getting us uncomfortable so that we'll take the jump. And so the first thing with courage is, number one, is we have to ask the question and know the answer to this. What has God called me to do? Right? So this assignment that God has placed in my life, or that life has given me, you know, knowing what you're called to do is so important. And a lot of times you can find it in what you're not called to do. And it's knowing that if this doesn't line up to the mission that God has for my life, then I can say no to it because I know it's not what God's called me to do, right? And then the things that God has called me to do, I can find the strength, and I'm gonna stay, and I'm gonna muster up the courage because I know that this is an assignment from God. And the thing about assignments is it's the same way in school. You can like walk out of the room during the test, right? But if you want to get to where you're going, and you want to get that degree, or you want to get that, you know, that education, you're going to have to go through that assignment. You're going to have to pass this test. Life is full of those things. And normally the things that scare us the most are really the tests that have the biggest breakthrough on the other side of them. The things that we want to run from. And so it's knowing what I'm here to do that helps me realize what I'm not here to do. And then I think there's just general assignments that God has given us all. I know for me, one of the most important things to me is loving my family well. That's an assignment from God. To love our neighbors as ourselves, right? But it starts at home. I could see how somebody in the relationship with God is based on how they treat their family. Now, sometimes it takes courage to do that, right? I mean, I'm just gonna be, can we be real? They've got a few people laughing, you know. But it's not, you know. It takes courage to stay and to be the person God has called you to be when maybe everything you see in the world tells you, well, just give up. You know, it's not your responsibility. We need responsibility. We need to know, number one, what God's called us to do. And when we begin to focus on that, we're going to find courage that we never knew we had. So loving our family well, loving my, you know, raising Asa and making sure that he knows that I love him, my son. And so general assignments that require courage are so important. And then there's, I think, there's a lot of just general assignments that God has placed in our lives, like to love people and to stand for justice and to stand up for people that don't have a voice in our society, I think is an assignment from God. And so all of those things take courage. They just really, it really does. Like all of those things take courage. And so I think about the 12-year-old that wrote this down. You know, what was her, you know, and being in, trying to go back to middle school, things have changed. I can't imagine having an iPhone when I was 12. I probably would have ended the world with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, at least we had to work to do bad stuff with our phones. You know, like it took some, like, you know, ingenuity to access things. But now, you know, I'm thinking about a 12-year-old that has, I mean, it's just the reality. Like, they have everything, like, access on that phone. And so what would be the, you know, the bravery or the courage for a 12-year-old? And I thought, you know, number one is being willing to be different in a society that puts so much pressure on you. It's incredible the amount of bullying that happens now in our, and so it's being okay with who God's called me to be, that I don't have to fit in. That's courage. That takes courage. You know, like, or how about this, to be okay, like the one person that everybody, like, avoids at lunch. I think everybody had that one person, right, in high school. It's having the courage to say, I'm going to take my stuff, and I'm going to go sit with that person today at lunch. Courage. Or listening to mom and dad. Come on, somebody. When all your friends say they don't know anything, you know what I mean? I'm finding the older you get, the more that you realize mom and dad had a few things figured out, you know? And so it takes courage to do that, because most of what your friends are telling you is they don't know anything, you know what I'm saying? Just, you know, but so it takes courage, what I'm saying, in any season of life to do what God's called you to do. For my 3-year-old, it takes courage to hop up on that potty and use the bathroom. I mean, there's like a motivational speech going into the bathroom. I'm like, all right, dude, you got this. Let's do this. You know, doors open. You know, he can't use the restroom without any clothes on. You know, so if we're anywhere public, you know, all the, you know, it's like, it's, you can't touch, you know, I mean, it's like but we're encouraging him, because, you know, we don't want them to start elementary school and have to wear a diaper. You know what I mean? We don't want that. And so we need this courage in our life to do what God has called me to called us to do. And an assignment in whatever season you're in, the assignment may look different. You know, the assignment may look different. But we know that we need these assignments from God. So that was number one. And then God continues to move on with Joshua. And he says, you know, no man's going to be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, you should maybe underline that, so I will be with you, I will not leave you or forsake you. There's three times there in that one verse that God reassures Joshua that he's going to be with him. And so we need an assignment, right, that's bigger than ourselves. And then the second thing, courage continues with the assurance of God's presence. Because when I know God has called me to do this, nobody can talk me out of it. Like, when I know that this is what God, this is my gift, this is what God's placed in my life to do, and he had to be so clear with Joshua, because as soon as Joshua took over, they tried to vote him out, you know what I'm saying? And then as soon as he took over, they had some battles to fight, there was some armies they had to face, there was giants in the promised land, and so there's going to be times in our life where maybe even friends and family think what God's called us to do is a bad idea. But when we know that God's called us to do it, it really doesn't matter if you go with me or not, because if God is with me, and you've got to, I mean, it's having this, finding your identity and only, you know, pleasing one person, and it's just God. And so when I have this assurance that God is with me, I now know that every assignment, you know, when the teacher gives you an assignment in class, they give you the assignment based on the fact that they know that you have what it takes to do well on that assignment, right? Like, a good teacher has given you the tools, you've got the books, you've got the up until that point, hopefully. The bad teachers are, I had a few of those, they just wanted everybody to fail the class, you know what I'm saying? They just, like, I mean, everybody's gonna fail. If you, you know, like, it's like, come on, you know, I'm already fighting genetics here, you know, like, please, you know, but a good teacher, all right? will give you what you need to pass the course. And when it comes to assignments from God that take courage, every assignment is an assurance that I've got what it takes. When everything in my life is trying to convince me otherwise, I'll never forget leaving Baptist Hospital with this little blob of a two-day-old, and I thought for sure that we weren't going to be able to do this. Like, I'm driving home. I mean, I went from, like, an okay driver to I'm, like, 5 miles under the speed limit. I'm waving people down, flying by us. You know what I mean? Like, I am scared here. Like, you know, people would ask me the first couple of weeks when Asa was born, like, how's it going? I'm like, he's alive, you know what I'm saying? We've made it. We've kept him alive for 2 weeks. And so when God places assignments on your life, right, it feels weighty, and you want to give up. You want to give up. You want to, like, it feels like, okay, that's when we really, really have to know that if God has called you to it, he's going to be with you through it. And God would have never made you a mother if he didn't know you. He didn't put inside of you what it takes to be a good mother. Or he would have never called. That was my biggest fear. I just read all these books on, you know, fathering because I didn't really have a, you know, whatever, I'm not going to sit up here and tell my story, but I was scared, like, I don't think I can do this. I just didn't think I was going to be able to do it. And it's just like life, when it gives you these circumstances and God, you know, places things, you find out that you've got stuff in you that you didn't know existed. And instead, if you run from everything in life that scares you, you'll run your whole life. And if you run from every situation that you don't want to be in or that you disagree with or is uncomfortable, you're just going to run and run and run and run. And I think courage, what we have to anchor ourselves in, is that when we face things that make us want to just give up, we have to find that assurance in knowing that God is with us. You know, I absolutely despise public speaking when I first started doing this. Like, I at PSC, I flunked. It was one class that I dropped. It was public speaking. Now, at PSC, did y'all hear that? Not Yale or you know, Duke. At you know, it was PJC then. It was the most frightening thing. You know, I would have arguments with God because I just didn't like it. I wasn't good at it. I naturally was not good at it. And I'll never forget the first Sunday that I had. I was, you know, my pastor had asked me. He's like, "You're going to preach on a Sunday morning." I'm like, "I'm not going to preach on a Sunday morning." I'll never forget. I said, "I'll talk to these kids. They don't listen half the time. You know, I can do that, but you are not. I'm not doing it." And he's like, "Why?" I was like, "Because I'm scared." And I'll never forget. He looked across. He said, "Well, then do it scared." And it was the best 11-minute sermon you've ever heard in your life. No, and you think I'm joking. They thought, like, when I got down, everybody was looking around like, "Is he done already?" You know what I'm saying? Like, is it, what? You know, nobody's good at anything the first time. You know, that's what I tell myself. But so why would God call you to do something that you absolutely are not good at and weren't gifted in and born with it? So that you don't take the credit. So that you know when you find success in that area or that field or that company starts up and you had no clue on how to run a company and you've got running companies for dummies, you know, and that's all that you had and you were stepping out on a wing in a prayer, because then when it is successful, you don't take it for granted, number one, and you don't take credit for it. But if I ran I would avoid public speaking. If somebody had asked me to preach, I'd find a reason why I couldn't do it. Like, I think my dog has an appointment that day, you know, like, and then I finally figured out that if running from this is not helping anybody. And so we're born with two fears in our lives. There's like 2,000 phobias classified on the planet right now. There's a phobia for choking on peanut butter, believe it or not. You read the medical journal, this classified phobia, there's people that will not eat peanut butter because they think their tongue's going to get stuck to the top of their mouth. We're born with two fears, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises, according to science. And so all of these things in our life, public speaking and all these things that maybe it's leading that business or taking that job and that seems to scare the life out of us, we got to realize that the source of that is not God. And so when I was running surf camp a couple years ago, this was my day two talk on fear. And you know, a lot of people give up on trying to surf, or they never try to surf because they don't want to get in the water, right? Shark Week has everybody freaked out. They think as soon as you get close to a water, you know, the Gulf, a shark's going to jump out and bite you in the leg. You know what I'm saying? It's like, but coconuts kill more people than sharks every year. Coconuts falling on people's heads. Like, there's no reason to be scared of sharks. And so much of life, a lot of times, is I've found just for me, is that the enemy will surround what God has called me to do with intimidation. So if I'm called to be in the Gulf and be a surfer, then I'm going to be the one that watches Shark Week growing up my whole life, and I'm scared to death to get in the water, right? And it's identifying these sources of fear so that we can stand up against them. And it's like if you go to Walgreens and get a flu shot today, you know what's in the flu shot? Or if you get bit by a snake and they give you a shot to, you know, to help you, you know what's in that as well? There's a little bit of the flu in the flu shot. There's a little bit of the venom from the snake that bit you in that shot that gives you what it takes for your body to build immunity and get better. So fear and intimidation and the things that scare you, the way that we build the courage to stand up and to do these things is knowing that when we face our fears is how we build immunity to them, right? And it's the things in life that scare us are oftentimes the things in life that God has called us to do. And so instead of running from challenges and running from things that scare us, we have to, which is number three, courage requires a focused determination. I'm going to do it scared. I'm going to do it anyways. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to give it another shot, right? I'm going to stay in the game. I'm going to focus on, number one, not the fear. So fear and faith are fed the same way. They're very similar in this one way. It's all about focus. If you start ruminating on what you can't do and how you're scared and there's sharks in the water and I can't never, I mean, you will scare yourself right out of doing that. But if you focus on faith and you focus on, okay, this is what I've been called to do, you know, coconuts kill more people than sharks, you know what I mean? Like, I got this, I can do this. I'll never forget my brother. When I used to take my brother surfing, and he the first couple of times, and I probably wasn't being the best brother, but there was one day I strapped the surfboard to him, and I said, "Just follow me," you know what I'm saying? And it was probably not the best day to learn how to surf, but I'll never forget he got really scared. Like, really scared. He's here, so I'm not gonna, like, he was crying for mom. He was boo-hooing. I mean. I think, but he was scared. And so, but now I look back, and then, you know, he was able to, over time, he was, you know, lived on the beach and has exposed himself to that fear enough. And now he'll paddle out in days where I'm like, I'm too old for this. Y'all go for it. Praying for you, brother. You know what I'm saying? I'll give me the camera. But if he would have just stayed and ruminated on that one instance and that one experience, I mean, now he's what is that, a lieutenant or a sergeant? Like, for the I can't remember. But he jumps into the Gulf when everybody else doesn't want to go into the Gulf for a living. He's a lifeguard. And isn't it funny how oftentimes it's these things in our life that scare us the most will be where God is calling us to go. And so it's having this focused determination of knowing that God is with me. It's the staying power. That's what Joshua needed so much, and that's what God, three times, again, courage is mentioned 20 times in the whole Bible. Five times in a few verses, God is telling Joshua, be of good courage. Be of good courage. What is he saying? He's saying, you're going to want to quit. You're going to want to give up. You're going to want to find another occupation. You know, you're going to want to find something else to do. But you got to be, you know, you got to focus on the fact that God is with me. Focus on the faith. Focus on the good. Focus on what you do have. Come on, somebody, right? Like, focus on, even if you're really bad at it the first time, well, at least I tried. You know, find something to focus on that's healthy, that's building faith. And when we stay in that zone, right, is when we begin to see the courage build inside of us. And so, and here's the last one. Joshua, again, is God is speaking directly to him. And he says, this, the book of the law, verse 8, shall not depart from your mouth, but you're going to meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to everything that's written inside of it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And I want you to check, like, see that how he's saying, if you do these things, whatever you decide to do, you're going to prosper. And I think sometimes we can psych ourselves out about the will of God. Like, am I in the will of God? Is this the will of God? And I think the will of God is more about a posture and how we're in an internal place in our life. And I like to tell people, I think whatever you do when you're living in relationship with God and you're living in obedience with God, I think God will bless whatever it is that you put your hands to. And that's what he's telling Joshua here. He's saying, if you talk this book, right, you speak these words, you meditate on it, you let it get deep down inside you, you're going to find success wherever you go. And so I think there's three applications to that are really practical for us. And the first one is this, what he's saying by speaking the book of the law and make sure it doesn't leave your mouth, is he's saying proclaim it. Proclaim the word of God over your life. That's what he's saying. Like, speak the word. I mean, especially when you find yourself in situations that don't completely line up with what you thought life was going to be like. Proclaim the word of God. Speak truth. Even when it feels like I'm in this and I don't know what to do. That, I mean, it's like it's proclaiming the word. It's so important. And I don't think there's any greater way to really inject ourselves with courage or someone else than just speaking the word of God. And I know, I mean, and again, it's almost taboo. It's like you come to church and you're telling me to read the Bible more. It's not really about that. I think it's more about the more that we begin to speak the word and get the word inside of us, and that could be many different ways. It could be the music that we listen to. It could be, you know, the Bible Is app. I don't like reading sometimes. I just want somebody to read to me. And the Bible Is app will just read. This just has the word of God. And I think the more that we begin to speak that over our lives, the more we're going to identify areas in our life that maybe we're believing something that's not true. That we confront lies with the truth. Jesus did the same way. He said, you know, man can't live off of bread alone. He's being tempted in the wilderness 40 days. And, he's finding the courage to face the enemy. This is so practical in our lives. Well, how did he defend against the enemy that had come against his life? He had defended truth. He used truth to defend against the lies. He says, man can't live off of bread alone, but every single word that comes out of the mouth of the Father. And so I think there's two different types of this. I think there's the written word of God, and we read it. But then there's when Jesus said that every word, that's a different word. He means it's like a current word. It's a rhema word. It's a spoken word from God. So it's like I'm living my life based on what I know God has called me to do for the season that I'm in. And I really believe that God wants to do that for you. That it doesn't require a pastor to tell you what God is saying for you. Like, I think God moves in that way sometimes, but we can almost live life with a crutch when we're depending on somebody else to hear for God for us. Because what happens when, you know, Pastor Stretch-a-Leg leaves, you know what I'm saying? Or I'm just kidding. Or like what happens when this person, you know, we have to know that we're the only requirement we need to hear from God is staying in his word and really just being open to what he wants to say into our lives. And it doesn't take anybody else to help us do that. And so living our life on based on what is God saying. I know it sounds crazy and I know it sounds taboo, but I think the most exciting life is knowing what God has said, proclaiming that over your life when it seems like your circumstances aren't lining up with that. And then he takes it a little bit further. He says, I want you to meditate on the word. And so we proclaim it. And then the second thing is, I feel like that word meditate means now we possess it. You know, it's different than just it's not head knowledge anymore, right? Like, I know that God is for me. I know that God said that he'll keep my mind in perfect peace if I stay on him. And I know God said that with his stripes I am healed, right? Like, we proclaim the word, we speak the word, but there's a different thing that happens inside of us when it gets down into our hearts. Now I possess this. This is something that I have walked through, and I have found this to work in my life. I possess it. It's not just a verse anymore. Like, this is the verse that's gotten me through the toughest time in my life. It's having it deep down inside of us that meditation, a lot of times I believe when it comes to scripture, meditation brings revelation. And it's not about reading like 100 verses or 100, you know, I'm famous for getting on a Bible reading plan and getting like 2 months behind, you know what I'm saying? Then it's like, okay, I got to sit down and read 43 chapters today. And how much of that are we retaining? Probably not much. But when we meditate on this, when we meditate on the Word of God, it's like throwing that thing into the crock pot, you know what I'm saying? And it's like the longer you let it sit, the better that it becomes. And I think that's what God is encouraging us to do. He says, don't just, you know, proclaim it and speak it, but let it get deep down inside of you. It's like going to a Mexican restaurant, you know what I'm saying? Come on, like you leave and you smell like it everywhere you go. It's like I get the Word so inside of your spirit that it's like oozing off of you. Like, I mean, I think, I know that's a bad illustration, but that's the way I see it. It's our moral compass. It's true north. It's like, how do I know what God's called me to do, and how do I know what God hasn't called me to do? And then, so here's the third thing. He says, I want you to, you know, proclaim this Word, possess it, meditate on it. And then he said, this is why, so that you will be careful to do all that is in it. So that's when we practice it. That's when we put it to practice. So it's no longer just something that we've read. It's no longer just something that it's more than just a moral fiber of who we are. But I'm going to live my life based on what God has said to me. I'm going to live my life based on this is how I'm going to set goals. This is going to be the number one goal. I want to do what God's put me here to do. And I don't want to over spiritualize this, because I think God has called people to be musicians. I think God has called people to be nurses and doctors and lawyers and to start companies that, you know, and God is totally 100% in that, just as much as he is in calling pastors, probably even more, you know what I'm saying? I really believe that. We separate church from career a lot of times, and God doesn't see him different at all. God's saying, you know, I've called you, you know, Martin Luther said this. He talked about the Christian shoemaker. He said the Christian shoemaker doesn't stamp little fishes on the shoes. He just makes good shoes. Do all things as unto the Lord, right? And so whatever that it is that you have been called to do, I know for certain it's going to take courage. And I'm going to end kind of with a challenge, because I really believe there are things in your life that God has for you that you're only going to get through courage and stepping out and putting forth that first step. And this is a perfect illustration from Joshua, because here is God telling Joshua, be courageous, be courageous. I think we come to church, and it should be encouraging, and I hope that it is. But then, at the end of verse 9, Joshua had to kind of put on his sword and pick up his shield, and he had to take the first step. Because courage is like trying to drive a moving car. You can't do it. You can't steer it. And it's always, God always has something in our life that he's calling us to do that's the next step. And it's like when we make that first, when we take that initial step, is when we really get to experience it. We get to enjoy it. But we have to be able to get outside of our comfort zone. We have to be able to do things we've never done. We have to be okay with being uncomfortable. We have to be okay with doing things that kind of stretch us, doing things that challenge us, because we need that in our lives. I think it's the way God grows us. I think it's the way that God really helps navigate our lives to where he's called us to do, and to where he's called us to be, and what he's called us to do. And so I want to just pray real quick for somebody in here, and I want to, you know, maybe just ask the Lord, you know, kind of pray this easy prayer. What area of my life, Lord, do I need courage right now? You know, where are the areas in my life? Because we, you know, not every battle we're called to fight, but there's battles, there's things in our life, there's hills, there's things that God has called us to do that's going to require some effort. It's going to require some courage. It's going to require some sleepless nights. It's going to require just completely having to reinvent everything that you know as normal up to this point. But if you're willing to do that, You're willing to do that. You're willing to step out in faith. It's incredible, the miracles and the blessing and the providence of God when we take a step. And so everybody in here, I know there's some area of your life where God is, you've been retreating, and God is saying, no, I need you to take charge here. I need you to stand for this. I need you to find courage. And so even in this moment now, Lord, we're asking, God, we're opening our hearts to you. I just pray that every person in here, I just pray for just a renewed sense of encouragement and courage, that I know there's people here that it was hard for you to get here this morning. I know that even now you're feeling discouraged because of what you got to get up and go do in the morning. I remember that, of feeling a lost sense of purpose and feeling like this job is killing me and it's taking everything I've got. And so it may be just the courage to show up on Monday, show up in the morning and just be all there. You know, iron the clothes, you know, get brush your teeth, come in there smelling good and say, I'm here, I'm going to give it my all. I mean, it's this courage in life. Sometimes it can be for the small things, but it's like a muscle. When we use courage, the only way for it to grow is when we activate it. And so, God, where are you calling me to have courage? Are you calling me to stand for something that maybe I've backed away from? There's some things happening that I need to take action on these things. Lord, we're just asking, Father, for you to speak to us today. Lord, that encouragement would just fill every person in this place. We just thank you so much, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen.